I met Jen last year in Luxembourg when there was the first World Congress of Matriarchal Studies, and she gave me her book. And I must say, I am really deeply impressed by this book, Forgiving, because of the clarity and depth of her analysis of a person who speaks out of her whole life experience and reflection, a mixture of being mother, a lover, a very good thinker, everything together. And I was really deeply impressed, and I think that is exactly what we needed at the moment, this deep analysis of our situation. Now, when I heard Jeanette Armstrong just before the break, I felt ashamed of having done so little compared to the size of the problem, because we don't know where the exit is. We didn't prevent patriarchy from developing so far, we women. And so I think this is, we have to do that now. Jen says in her book, in order to reject patriarchal thinking, we must be able to distinguish between it and something else, an alternative. This is what I'm trying to do. She says we should try to think outside patriarchy, but I feel we also have to think inside patriarchy, because if not, we don't understand it. I never understood patriarchy. This is why I started to study it, and I just founded the Innsbruck Institute for Research on Patriarchy, because and also I hope, as Jen said, she was never inside the academics, that she remained naive. And I, even though I have been inside the academic world for much time, I hope to have remained naive too, in a way. I hope so, at least. So I don't have to add anything to the gift paradigm, but I have to add something to the analysis of patriarchy. A radically worldview is possible, and I think also a radically different world is possible, not only the view, but the world as such. Therefore, my analysis turns around capitalist patriarchy and the struggle for a deep alternative. I think that this different worldview is necessary because today we are observing a global social, economical, ecological, and political development that is totally different from what it is supposed to be. The so-called globalization, obviously, is not a movement towards more democracy, peace, general welfare, wealth, and ecological sustainability, as it propagators are pretending everywhere. On the contrary, the opposite is true. Never in history have so many people died from hunger and thirst, environmental destruction and war, most of them women and children. Never in history has the technological process led to such an intense and threatening destruction of the environment globally. Never in history has the nuclear threat been so acute. Never in history have the political systems been changing so clearly into the direction of an authoritarian, if not despotic, rule in many parts of the world. And never in history has such a tiny minority on the globe been so incredibly rich and powerful, like the transnational corporations and their global players of today, for whom we and the planet are nothing else but their play material. In sum, this situation can be called the development of underdevelopment, but this time underdevelopment is not only produced in the South but also in the North. It is the result of a new colonization of the world, which did and does not happen inexplicably, but is actively and aggressively promoted by the governments as their general and apparently normal policy, beginning in the 80s of the 20th century. This policy consists in a continuing process of primitive accumulation that leads to a forced economic growth through the direct expropriation of the peoples of the globe and the globe itself. The name of this policy is neoliberalism, and this new liberalism fits exclusively to the interests of the corporations. For the rest of humanity, it means just the opposite, namely totalitarianism. Is this new world order the best of all possible worlds that Western civilization pretends to develop? Or is the current development of Western civilization the peak and turning point towards its final decline? Meanwhile, many people have made a description of the situation and its dynamics. There, it seems to be no future astonishingly enough even for the global players themselves. I call this situation West End in process. The self-given license to loot the resources of the earth will find an end with the end of the resources already underway, and the resource wars, the new wars on the globe for oil and water that have already begun, are just a logical consequence. But there is nearly no deeper analysis of the reasons that are leading to this extraordinary situation and its dynamics that seem to exclude any alternative. There is no real explanation of the world's dilemma and its causes that is deep enough. I suppose that the reasons why most people do not really know why all these things are happening is due to the fact that the left, as well as the right, and the sciences in general have never analyzed patriarchy. And not knowing patriarchy also means not really knowing capitalism, because the two do not only share a time of being together on this earth for now 500 years, but of being deeply related to each other in a way that has not been understood by most people until today, even feminists. Therefore, it is time to do the necessary step, analyzing capitalist patriarchy from its roots and as a theoretical concept for the analysis of society. Only then it can be seen that patriarchy is much more than just a word for polemical purposes, but it can be understood as a concept that explains the character of the whole social order in which we are living today. Recent studies of matriarchal societies suggest mainly three things. First, patriarchal society as we know it did not exist as such and independently from or even before the matriarchal one, but started to develop after the armed invasion, violent conquest, and systematic destruction of matriarchal society by armed hordes that had lost their own originally matriarchal culture after having been exposed to catastrophic migration. This process is reported from the 5th millennium before Christ onwards, and it occurred in China, India, the Middle East, North and Central Africa, Europe, and the Americas as well. As patriarchal society did not exist as such, we have to analyze the conditions that led to its development. The development of patriarchal society is related to the invention of something that from then on was called war, and the development of patriarchy has been dependent on the continuation of war, even in so-called peace times. Otherwise, the people of the conquered communities and societies would have easily liberated themselves from the conqueror's rule. The logic of patriarchy since then is the logic of war, which means that all the social institutions invented by patriarchy are principally drawn from war experiences. A, patriarchy invented a political system based on the invention of the state, which meant the hierarchical dominance of armed men over the conquered people and the dominance of men over women, because women were at the center of pre-patriarchal society and felt responsible for the maintenance of its egalitarian principles. B, patriarchy invented an economy based on the invention of the plunder of other people's property, from then on called private property, from privare, that means to rob, and on an always more systematical exploitation of the conquered through exchange, all of which caused the impoverishment, especially of the women, because women had control over the means of production, were the producers, distributors, and givers of concrete wealth, namely life, food, security, and the integration of everybody into the community. C, patriarchy invented a society split into social classes, races, generations, and genders. What meant from then on, especially women, were regarded as being subjected to men by nature in order to never be able again to reestablish a matriarchal society. D, patriarchy invented a godfather or male creator religion based on the image of the great warrior, plunderer, proprietor, or big man who was regarded to be able and to be legitimized to give and to take life like the great mother or goddess herself, replacing her by the idea or ideology of an omnipotent, violent, and jealous single god, a sort of an abstract patriarchal mother-father. E, patriarchy invented a technology based on the war as the father of all things, namely by beginning to transform the pre-patriarchal technique and philosophy of alchemy into a patriarchal one, what meant that from then on, men systematically tried to use the existing female knowledge about life and nature in order to appropriate it, to pervert it into a means of control over life and nature, and finally to overcome the dependence on nature and women by trying to replace them through technological progress, the project of a sort of second creation. And F, patriarchy invented a psychology that defined the ways how men could develop their masculation, as Jen says, their competitive patriarchal egological individuality opposing women, the community, and nature. In sum, the patriarchal order of society meant a total break with matriarchal or gift-giving social rules, traditions, and taboos from times immemorial, and can be defined as a war system in development. And even if there have been times and spaces that did not fit at all into this picture, the development, or so-called evolution, namely that of patriarchy, nevertheless, in the last instances, has been a continuous one. And women did not prevent patriarchy from developing further until today. Second definition, part of definition of defining patriarchy. In patriarchal societies, we can always find rests of the former matriarchal ones that is called matriarchy as second culture, left over or newly reorganized after the patriarchs had started to negate the reality and quality of matriarchal society. This second culture can be observed everywhere, for example, in mother-child relationships, in love, or generally in gift-giving. It contradicts the patriarchal order, but also helps it to exist because a society without any matriarchal relations could simply not survive. Therefore, patriarchies are always somehow mixed societies, be it to a higher or lower degree, and they, for obvious reasons, are hiding this fact as much as they can. But today, it can be observed very clearly that patriarchy is trying to complete its negation of matriarchy in order to replace it as much as possible. This destruction and the fading away of the second culture in patriarchy, it could be argued, is one of the main reasons for the depth of the crisis of the contemporary civilization. The negation of matriarchy as such consisted and consists in presupposing that there has never been any matriarchal society, that patriarchal society existed from the beginning of human life on Earth, and or pretending that a violent and evil rule of women had to be broken before patriarchal society could develop so-called civilization and progress. Due to this patriarchal mythology, most people today still think that matriarchy did never exist, or that it meant rule of women instead of rule of men, which indeed never was the case in matriarchal, but maybe sometimes in patriarchal society. So most people do not understand that the terms matriarchy and patriarchy are not just referring to men and women, or male and female, but to the character of the whole social order, so that both men and women living in matriarchy have to be considered matriarchal, and living in patriarchy both have to be considered principally patriarchal, referring to their thinking, acting, and feeling. Furthermore, the negation of matriarchy consisted and consists in destroying the matriarchal society as a social order on its own, appropriating everything from matriarchal society that seemed important to the patriarchs, trying to usurp it, especially the image and the abilities of the mother and the goddess, because patriarchy did not have an originally own culture. And perverting everything matriarchal into its opposite, which is the way how the patriarchal is defined. Then, trying to transform the originally matriarchal society into a patriarchal one by developing the policies of divide and rule, by dissolving and abstracting the interconnectedness of people, communities, and nature in general, and by subsequently trying to replace them by a purely patriarchal world. Especially this last question, namely of the transformation and substitution of nature women and their social order, have nearly never been regarded in their crucial importance. Third part of definition of patriarchy. People's experiences with patriarchal society, war, despotic rule, and ceaseless violence logically led to a complete change in the general worldview too. The Gnostic worldview appeared. Gnosis means recognition. It is recognized that the world is bad, evil, low, primitive, violent, sinful, and not worth living in it. A better, higher, more developed, noble, and civilized world, therefore, is becoming the ideal of people in patriarchy. But it is believed that this higher world cannot be found on Earth, less in the matriarchal past or presence elsewhere. So the higher world is thought of as a metaphysical world that can only be envisioned by imagination. A metaphysical world beyond physics was not thought of in matriarchal society because the words mater and archi together do not mean rule of mothers, but in the beginning the mother. Life stems from mothers, uterus. Therefore, life, death, the mother and the goddess are always here in this world, and they all belong to each other so that there is neither the need nor the idea of another metaphysical world beyond the one in which we are living every day. In patriarchal society, on the contrary, another world beyond the existing one has to be invented because the words pater and archi together do not simply mean rule of fathers, Heide, was she? But in the beginning, a so-called father, a word unknown in matriarchal times, by the way, or life stems from fathers instead of from mothers. Fathers are men with uteruses who, in the last instance, are able to give life themselves without needing women at all. For example, the pharaoh Akhenaton, for example, made himself be painted as a pregnant man. Only on the basis of this fantasy, men would be legitimized to rule over those who are not fathers, that is, the people and especially the mothers. The father, therefore, is defined as somebody who is a ruling man and as such not only able to take life, but also to give life. In patriarchy, the words archi, the word archi thus did not only mean beginning, origin, uterus, but also rule and domination too. The second meaning of archi did not appear before patriarchy, so that in matriarchy, archi could never have meant domination, much less mothers or women's rule. There simply was no domination, and therefore there was no word for it. This means that the political system of patriarchal society can be regarded as a first step into the direction of the development of a pure, fully realized patriarchy in which the fathers would be men with uteruses or with something like uterus machines. So the political system of patriarchy would only be needed as a method for the period in which patriarchy moves towards its realization, in which it is on its way towards a real patriarchy conceived of as the end of history. From this point of view, it is only 5 minutes. From this point of view, history is only the time in which patriarchy appeared and developed until it became 100% reality. The patriarchal usurpation, destruction, and perversion of the mother and the wish to replace her thus led to an early sort of science fiction, namely to the idea that what is only and absurdly supposed, namely that life stems from the father and not from the mother, is considered even more real than what can be experienced every day, namely the opposite. Gnostic metaphysics and the belief in it as another higher reality are appearing everywhere, in every theological as well as philosophical tradition until today. Since then, belief has become more important than knowledge, even more so in the secularized modern sciences of today. In sum, the historically new concept of the father is a triple fiction. It imitates the fiction of a powerful patriarchal mother or goddess and imagines to have successfully replaced her. This way, the father is defined as a sort of patriarchal mother, the god as a sort of patriarchal goddess, who, as a complete antagonism, could never before have been thought of. But the fiction is program. The idea of patriarchy has become its political and technological project. Patriarchy as a society in which life stems from fathers and not from mothers has to be artificially produced or it will never exist. The project is life, or what is considered to be life, should be born or be made by men. So only when men have become real fathers, patriarchal society would, in the long run, not have to fear women and matriarchy or the gift paradigm as another alternative any longer. Now I have to be very short. So having defined patriarchy this way, what does it mean for defining capitalism? From my analysis of patriarchy follows that capitalism is nothing else but the latest stage of patriarchy. My hypothesis is that patriarchy crystallizes into capitalism. This means that with capitalism, there is a break with as well as a continuation of patriarchy, both even go into the same direction, namely fostering patriarchy. The logics of patriarchy led straightforward into the modern epoch because capitalism is the promise to finally realize the futuristic Gnostic utopia materially and on earth. It consists in the intent to produce a purely patriarchal society, cleaned from matriarchal rests whatsoever, and propagated as a man-made perfect second paradise. Metaphysics are to become the new physics. This is the propaganda of modern society as a whole. This is the beginning of the great transformation for which modern Europe has become so famous. The idea is that what we can see today everywhere, that nature, women, and their order has to be replaced by the artificial products of industry, namely gifts by exchange, subsistence by commodities, foreign cultures by Western culture, concrete wealth by money, machinery, and capital, the new abstract wealth, living labor by machines, the brain by artificial intelligence, women by sex machines, real mothers by mother machines, and life in general by artificial life, like genetically modified organisms, and generally by what I call the alchemical system of an industrial life production. Therefore, the so-called technological progress through the development of modern sciences and the invention of the machine as a totally new techno-system has been the logical backbone of modern patriarchal epoch. And the invention of the prophet that could be drawn out of this adventure of transformation of the whole world has convinced always more people, mostly men. But with all this progress, as we know, Mother Earth is going to be more and more destroyed. We know that nuclear and genetic changes are already irreversible. So capitalism, with its activism, optimism, positivism, rationality, and its irrational belief in violence, is not just capitalism, but has to be defined as capitalist patriarchy. 1 minute. But if the matter of capitalism, its matter, its mothers, its women, its patriarchal rests do not obey anymore, and if nature does not as well, only then will capitalist patriarchy be disappearing. And as capitalist patriarchy is obviously not a society for eternity, this is going to happen now. If I if I'm allowed, I just wanted to take some points of what is going to happen in this sense. So patriarchal institutions will have to be deconstructed. The metaphysical Gnostic worldview, its religion, materialism, and idealism will have to be given up. Instead, the interconnectedness of life has to be recognized as the basis for a post-patriarchal spirituality. Economic and technological progress cannot be defined as having to produce value or profit and machinery as substitutes for life, nature, and women any longer. The paradise that is supposed to be invented is already here. It is our Earth herself, the most wonderful living planet in the universe. Except in this, we suddenly will have to do a lot in order to prevent this still existing paradise from disappearing forever. For example, the Congo, as the World Bank has started to cut the jungles in the heart of Africa, we have to become active in order to stop this destruction of a whole continent. Men and women have to liberate themselves from the idea and the delusion that life on Earth is unimportant, a mere illusion, Maya, and something that has to be or can be replaced by something else. They have to learn lessons of nature again. We will have to know instead of believe. We will have to learn that destruction does not lead to a better world, but to destruction. We will have to learn that there is no truth in violence. We will have to learn that there is no happiness in egotism, and so on. And last but not least, what is needed is a reversion of a perverted, parasitic society and mankind, the patriarchal mother-father as a cyborg that is the alchemical materialization of a metaphysical fiction has to fade away as soon as possible.